How many of you remember when Christmas had real meaning? You know, that time long ago before Christmas was so commercialized. It's my desire today. How many of you remember those days? Come on. How many of you remember that? There's four of you that remembers that. How many of you remember when Christmas had real meaning? Now, there you go. Some of you are alive. I thought we were going to have a resurrection service here. You know, this isn't Easter. This is Christmas season. And how many of you do remember that time long ago before Christmas was so commercialized? I remember those days. And what I want to do today, it's really my desire to challenge each of us to come back to the real meaning of Christmas. And what I want to do today, I want to talk to you about how you can turn Christmas upside down. How many of you want to do that? How many of you believe that Christmas needs to be turned upside down? Now, I want you to notice I have a very unusual item on the stage here. How many of you just have ever seen an upside-down Christmas tree? I went into a Harley-Davidson motorcycle shop, which is one of my hobbies, and guess what? I saw an upside-down tree, didn't know the meaning behind it. I said, there's an illustration, and I'm going to use it, and I'm going to use it during Christmas. So that's the reason we have the upside-down Christmas tree. How many of you have ever seen one before? It was the first time I'd ever seen one. There again, this is good. There's only three of you raising your hand on that. That's good. That means my illustration will work well. Let me give you some history of the upside-down Christmas tree. It goes like this. The history of the upside-down Christmas tree goes as far back as the Middle Ages, when residents of Europe hung their Christmas trees upside down as a representation of the Holy Trinity. Now, I'm not going to preach about the Holy Trinity today, but I mean, you know, we're talking about the Father, we're talking about the Son, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit, which all are wonderfully involved in the Christmas story. Here's some funny things that I came across this week, and there are 12 funny things your Christmas tree says about you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to talk to you here for just a moment. For example, white lights. If you have white lights on your house and on your tree, here's what you do. You ask your house guests to remove their shoes. If you have multicolored lights on your tree or in your house, you are an extrovert. Long about Wednesday, you'll get this. Y'all of you must have white lights. What about blinking lights? If you have blinking lights, here's what that says about you. You have an attention deficit disorder. Now, I thought about this morning. I thought, Tracy and I have white lights on our house. We have colored lights on our house. And we have blinking lights on our house. What does that say about us? We're all messed up. But then again, someone said, well, it means you're a very balanced family. Praise the Lord. You see, you got to see the cup half full or half empty. I think it's the first one with us, really, to tell you the truth. What about if you have homemade ornaments? Here's what it says. You have a lot of kids. And what about if you have strung popcorn? This is what this means. You have too much time on your hands. And you need to come to church and let us put you to work. If you have red balls only on your tree or decorations, you wish that you lived in a department store. What about if you have a yellow star on top? You're traditional. What if you have a glowing Santa on top? You shop, this is probably what it means, you shop at Kids R Us too much. And what about if you have a if you've cut the top of the tree off? And I'm telling you, I had some friends one time, and they cut the top of their tree off. What does that say about you? It simply says, you didn't measure the tree. And what if you have one that has a vague evergreen smell? Here's what it means. You bought a healthy tree. What if it has a strong evergreen smell? It says you sprayed your tree with Pine Sol. And what if you have a tree that's just plain smelly? Here's what it means. This is deep. There's a dead bird in the tree. Get it out. How many of you believe that Christmas needs to be turned upside down? How many of you believe the focus needs to be on the Trinity again? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and primarily in this season, the Son. How many of you believe that? Now, you may be asking, how can we do this? And you may also say, can this even be done? Oh, I want to say the answer to this is a resounding yes, it can be done. And I'm going to tell you three ways that we can turn Christmas upside down this season and for every season after this one. Number one, if you're going to turn Christmas upside down, number one, we must return to the person of Christmas. Who is the person of Christmas? Well, the person of Christmas is Jesus. And oh, that's what Christmas really should be all about, is the Christ of Christmas. Can I hear an amen on this one? We all know this, but if it were not for the birth of Jesus, there would be no Christmas. Think about it. No birth, no Christmas. And so all I want to do today is challenge us and encourage us to bring Christ back into Christmas. And I know that's what you want to do. Who is Jesus? Well, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23 tell us, and I'm going to read this little story to you. It says, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly as he considered this. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I'm not through reading, but I like that. I like the fact that God is willing and able through his Son Jesus to forgive our sins and become our Savior. Amen. And to save us from all sin. He goes on to say, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him what? Emmanuel, meaning God is with us, which means God is with us. Who is Jesus? I want to be very clear on who Jesus is today. This verse tells us that Jesus is God himself. Oh, when I hear some of these thoughts and traditions and some of these thoughts that the cults give of who Jesus is. How many of you know one cult in our nation, which is thought well of, refers to Jesus as Satan's brother? Let me tell you, some people refer to Jesus as a good person. Some refer to him as a prophet. Let me tell you who Jesus is and who he was when he came to this earth. He is God himself come down to the earth in flesh. That's who Jesus is. He is God. Who is Jesus? John 14 and 6 says this. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. Now listen to me again. Today you hear it all the time. You can hear it everywhere you go, that Jesus is just one of the ways. I'm so weary of national people getting on and using television to say that Jesus is just one of the ways to heaven and calling Christians intolerant. We are not intolerant. We just happen to know the truth. Jesus said it himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, there is no other name under heaven whereby men shall be saved. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the pathway to God. No other way. And let me tell you, one of the reasons that Christians will not be liked in the future is because of their loving stance. We're going to have to take a stand on who Jesus is. We're going to have to be willing to take a little heat. We're going to have to be willing maybe to lose a few friends because we come across as intolerant. Hey, we want people in heaven, so we're going to tell them the truth. Amen? Did you notice? He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. That is not intolerant. That is just telling the truth for what it is. Who is Jesus? Colossians 1, verses 15 through 16 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created. Listen to that. That are in the heaven and that are on the earth. Listen to this. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Listen to this. All things were created through Him. Listen to this. And for Him. Who is Jesus? He is the creator of all things. Everything you can see and everything that you don't see, the invisible things, which I believe, according to the Bible, are more real than these natural things. Who created them? Jesus created them. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, it was Jesus that created all these things. Hey, if we're going to turn Christmas upside down, we're going to have to get back to the person of Christmas. We're going to have to get back to the Christ of Christmas and believe who He is. He's not just a way. He is the way. Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen? What I want to know is, are we going to keep Jesus and at the center of this season? Are we going to do some other things that alter that? I think I'm speaking to some people today that want to help me turn Christmas upside down. Folks, how many of you know this is a wonderful season? People are more receptive to hear about God right now than they are any other time. And let me just tell you something. Don't miss your opportunity to invite people to church during the Christmas season. People are more open to come to church and Christmas season than any other time. And we get the opportunity to tell them who the Christ is. If we're going to turn Christmas upside down, number two, we must return to the worship of Christmas. Boy, I feel some preaching me today. I feel like Jeremiah, but I feel some fire in my bones today. I mean, you know, I read this funny little story this week. There were three small boys, and they were in a Christmas play at school. Now, they each represented the wise men, and they were to give their gifts to baby Jesus. All of you have seen the little plays like this, right? The first boy stepped forward. He held out the gift in his hands and said, gold. The second boy stepped forward, held out his gift and said, myrrh. The third boy stepped forward and held out his gift and said, Frank sent this. Gotta love it. I love kids' plays. Let me just take this moment to say thank you everyone who was involved in our children's production last week. It was awesome. It was wonderful. I'm telling you, it was powerful. And since I know some of these kids, I won't name any of them, but I got really tickled at some of them just watching. You always got one who's counting the stars. How many of you noticed the little boy turning around on the screen counting the stars? And he couldn't keep his glasses on. I think one of the best things they did with this play was those glasses they had on. They were absolutely awesome. When you look at the Christmas story, there are a couple of things that you realize. Number one, you recognize, as I've already stated, and the story tells us, that it's about the birth of Jesus. But secondly, you realize that there's a lot of worship taking place at this birth. Amen? And if we're going to turn Christmas upside down, I pray you hear me. We're going to have to return to the worship of Christmas. Come on now, get in this thing with me. I'm glad you're so enthusiastic. I think I'll preach this point three times. We're going to have to return to the worship of Christmas. None of this dead, stale, offering some dead something to God. I can tell I do need to preach just a little bit. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about returning to the Christ of Christmas. We're talking about returning to the worship of Christmas. Let me tell you, they weren't just sitting around, just kind of, oh, well, okay, let's see what's going on here. We must return to the worship of Christmas. And when we do that, guess what we're doing? We are returning to the person of Christmas. Folks, listen to me. Do you prepare yourself for a service before you get here? Shame on you if you don't. I understand there are occasions where maybe you've had some really difficult times and you're here and thank God for it. But I'm talking about week in and week out. Do you prepare yourself to come and worship the Lord? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you praying? Or do you just show up and say, I hope that worship team has something for me. I hope that preacher has something that'll light my fire today. I want to know, are you coming with the spirit of worship to the Christmas season? We going to turn Christmas upside down? It's going to have to be about the worship of Christmas. Luke chapter 2 describes the scene. How many of you have read the story before? You realize the angels, what are they doing? The angels aren't just sitting around and saying, wonder what's going on. They're there to announce what is going on. They're there worshiping God and singing hallelujahs to God and challenging everyone around. In fact, it starts with the angels. And they begin singing and praising to God. Then you see the shepherds. They get involved in this thing called worship. Amen? Come on, pastors and leaders, we've got to lead the way to worship. The shepherds are there worshiping the Lord. How many of you know then the wise men come and they're worshiping God? Folks, let me tell you what they're doing. Yes, they're bringing gifts, but let me tell you, they came from far. You know what they're doing? They're offering to God their gifts as a form of worship. If we're going to see Christmas turned upside down, rather than all these nativity scenes being taken down and all this nonsense that is not even law, that we got to have a separation of church and state. Come on, stick a nativity scene up in your front yard. Stick some lights on the tree. Get some blinking ones on the outside of your house. Do something to light up your world while the atheists are saying we're not going to have this stuff. Everybody was worshiping God in this season. Then the angels were worshiping. The shepherds were worshiping. And then guess what? Joseph and Mary are worshiping. I'm sure they're just a little bit bewildered. But let me tell you what happens. Because of this scene. Worship erupts into the earth. You want to see Jesus again? You want to see people interested in the Christ of Christmas again? We got to return to the spirit of Christmas, or to the worship of Christmas. Amen? Now let me tell you a reality. And I've preached on this before, but I want to do it again. Did you know that you are a born worshiper, or that you were born to be a worshiper? Every one of you. Don't any of you exclude yourselves by saying, not me now. Pastor, I just don't get into that stuff. I'm not an emotional guy. Wrong. I'm going to preach a little bit. Wrong. It is in your DNA to be a worshiper. Every one of you. Some of you may be here and you don't know Christ. You may be watching this by the internet or on the radio and say, hey, I heard him up to this point. Listen, I'm just not one of those people. I don't get all emotional. Yeah, you do. You may have negative emotions, but you get emotional about it. You know, you talk to some people during this season. How you doing? Are you getting ready for Christmas? Oh, yeah, I'm ready. Yeah. I don't understand what you're talking about. Please don't misunderstand me. And I'm not just really talking about worshiping Jesus during the Christmas season. I'm talking about worshiping Him all the time. The saints should come together. Why? To worship God. Folks, listen to me. There is a dynamic that is released when God's people come together to worship. This is the reason I struggle these days as a preacher, this new philosophy that, hey, I can go to my small group, but I don't need to go to church. You know, I just don't feel like going today. Hey, I may want to do this. I want to tell you, I really struggle with this new philosophy that is so unbiblical. Saints are supposed to be worshiping together in the house of God. And don't believe any of that stuff that says you can do it all by yourself. You are fooling yourself. Well, they hurt me at the church. Come on. There's probably not a person that I'm speaking to today that hadn't been hurt in church at some point in time. And you know, people who use that as an excuse always fail to realize they've probably hurt a few people in their lives too. Everybody has hurt somebody. You've got a sin nature. You've got people involved. You've hurt somebody. Some people are just too foolish to know that they've ever hurt anybody because they won't let you get close enough to them and say, "Brother, you hurt me." And if you come and tell them, "Hey, I was hurt and offended by what you said or by what you're doing," it's like the cat comes out. "You just don't understand. You just don't understand my life. Brother, you ain't no different than me or anybody else hearing this message today. Did you hear what I said?" Let me tell you what anthropologists have observed. They have observed that there is this urge or this desire born in mankind to worship. Let me just tell you, it doesn't matter where you travel in the world, and I've had the privilege of traveling to a lot of countries, planning on traveling to some others, but let me tell you what you find in every country you go into. You find this urge and this desire to be a worshiper. You see temples worshiping false gods or dedicated to them. Let me tell you, don't buy into this. "Hey, I'm just not a worshiper. That's just kind of for you fanatics. That's kind of for you undignified people." How many of you know a lot of people buy into that? "Well, that's for the less dignified. I believe when you come to church, you should be very reverent." Well, let me just tell you, Jesus doesn't believe that. Because Jesus said, "I'm seeking for people who will worship me." And I don't care what form you use, how you do it, but let me tell you, if it's from your heart, God receives it. But here is a reality, and I want everybody to know this, because I want to turn Christmas upside down. I want to do that. We must return to the worship of Christmas if we're going to see anything change in this world. Here's what else they have observed: that each human has been hardwired by God, as I said earlier, it's in their DNA, and that they have a built-in need to connect with God. Every human being that is born on the face of the earth has a need to connect with God Himself. Let me tell you, and I don't want to be hard on people, but let me tell you what people are trying to find at the other end of a bottle. Let me tell you what people are trying to find when they go from relationship to relationship, from job to job, from this to that. Let me tell you what people are looking for. People are looking for connection with God. And we could name a bunch of different things. You know what they're looking for? A connection to God. That's what people are looking for. So, beloved, listen to me. If we're going to turn Christmas upside down, we've got to return to the worship of Christmas. But we have to understand first that we are designed to be a worshiper. And here's the truth. If you don't worship God, you'll find something to worship. Oh, yes, sir. Some of you thought, "Man, I thought he's moving on to the next point." No, I'm not moving on. I'm not moving on just yet. Because we are born worshipers. We will find something or someone to worship, even if it ends up being ourselves. And let me tell you what the Bible says about the last days. He said, men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money, lovers of power. It's one thing to make a living. It's one thing to prepare your life financially. But when you start making that your everything, let me tell you, man, you are in trouble. You just don't know it. And the devil loves it when people don't understand what they're really doing. You are a worshiper and you will worship something or someone. Some people worship power. Some people worship success. Some people worship manipulating other people. Let me tell you this. This might bother some of you, but it is true. Some people worship their children. Let me tell you, people who are worshiping their children rather than the true God, when secular events are more important on a Sunday or whenever you attend church, it's more important that you've got to be at that secular event versus church. Say, oh, somebody say, well, you were doing real good till you started stepping on that toe. Is there ever an occasion where you might have to be gone? Yes. But I want to tell you, when you start finding yourself gone more than you're here, let me tell you, you're worshiping something else. That may offend you, but it's true. I want to stir us up to return to the worship of Christmas because I think it means everything to us. I think it's our way back to God. I think it's the way that we find the person of Christmas. Go ahead and say amen. Say it a little better and I'll move on. One more time. You convinced me. Number three, if we're going to return Christmas upside down, we must return to the giving of Christmas. Now, open your heart up, man. Don't turn me off. When I'm talking about giving, I'm talking about giving ourselves to our fellow man. That's what was happening in this Christmas season. Let me tell you, when God came to the earth, let me tell you what it was all about. It was about giving of Himself as a ransom to the world. How do I know that? Because John 3:16 says it so well. It says, "For God so loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life." Why did Jesus come? So I could get the latest and greatest piece of technology? No! So my kids could unwrap 50 gifts between the grandparents and the parents and the aunts and the uncles? No! Why did Jesus come? To save the world! If we're going to turn Christmas upside down, we have to always, every day, in our heart, in our mind, it has to be that we're here to understand that we are here about people. Do you think God just wants people to suffer today and have hardship and see if they can just climb their way up in this earth and be this great success and deal with all the stress? No, 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 no. You have a purpose. And it is to give people the Christ of Christmas. Folks, let me just say this. If we can be content as Christians when people are not getting saved in church services, or when we never in years experience, you better listen to me today, if we can be content and we're okay with that, let me tell you, we have lost the true meaning of Christmas. We should be highly disturbed when people are not getting born again every single service, and that we ought to be seeing it in our small groups. We ought to be seeing it happen everywhere. I'll go ahead and amen myself because I'm telling the truth. Amen. I'm glad your amen was a little weaker on that. It's time we get upset and get disturbed. Man, this thing is winding down. The earth is coming to this calamitous moment. We're nearing what the Bible describes as the end of the age. And if we can be happy and can be content and go about our way and just be merry every day without knowing that people are going to hell, then we've got to wake up and realize it's time to turn Christmas upside down again. Amen. You know, sometimes we treat God like our waiter at a restaurant or waitress. We just want to give God a little tip. I'm thinking about that this time of year. I don't know what it is about this time of year. I guess because you're off buying gifts and you're doing other things. I like to eat out a lot this time of year. Listen, I love to eat. I enjoy a good meal. Amen. I love my wife's cooking. But I'll tell you, sometimes they do a really good job on those fajitas down at Juan Pablo's in Sulphur Springs. And down here at Peretti's. Peralto's, something. Well, I like going there too. But how many of you know sometimes we just want to treat God like we treat our waiter or waitress? Just want to give them a little tip, and if they didn't get the tea out in time, and they, well, I just ain't gonna give them any tip. They just didn't deserve a good tip. You know, we come on, let's be real in church today. We treat God that way. Dear God, I had this plan, I had this dream and this vision, and it didn't work out quite like I wanted, and all these problems developed in my life. And if you're really God, listen to this, you could have stopped all this. Yes, He could have, but He chose not to. The Bible talks a lot about testing of your faith and trials. It talks a lot about a devil that's trying to mess your life up too. God didn't have anything to do with that stuff. So because of that, I'm a little upset here, and I just think I'll just give God a little tip. I'm not going to get too close to those Christians. And when they want me to work with the children, I don't think I'll do that anymore because I've retired from that. I'll just give God a little tip of my time. Oh, let me tell you, when we start tipping God, we're saying a whole lot more about ourselves than we realize. Not only do we tip God with our time, what about our talents? Now, these are my talents. No, they're not. God gave them to you. Don't you remember the verse we read? God created everything, the invisible things and the things that we can't see. You can't see gifts in people's hearts, but you can see the manifestation of it. Well, I just don't have time, Pastor, and you just don't understand. No, you're a tipper. That's the problem. You want to tip God a little bit of your time and a little bit of your talent. And, I didn't think I'd talk about this one, but I think I will. How about your treasures? You know, tithing's down all over America now. We've had a little economic problem here. So, hey, let's rob God. You know, let's rip God off and let's just drop a dollar or two in the plate, you know, because it's tough times. Oh, you're quiet now. I saw some faces go from happy to depressed. I'm telling the truth. Just going to tip God. By the way, let me just say this. Come on, if you're our guest, just listen to me. I love you. Go read the Bible and maybe God will confirm this to you. Listen to me. Did you know tithing, giving 10% of your income, is just to be the baseline? Will you listen to me? I almost feel like preaching and running the sanctuary today. That's just the baseline. I had no idea I would touch a nerve to this degree. That's the starting place. Let me tell you, a few months ago, God revealed to me that what we as preachers have done to our congregations, we've taught them the law, and many of them are obeying the law. They give their 10%. And bless the Lord, if the church needs anything else, that's okay. I did my part. I gave my tip to God. 10% is just a tip. I give my waiter and waitress more than a 10%, especially this time of season. I do, because I know how hard Christmas can be on people. Folks, let's don't tip God. What an opportunity to turn this thing called Christmas upside down. God doesn't want my tip. He wants more than that. Aren't you glad that God didn't just give us a tip of His Son? Here, I'll put one finger on the cross, and I'm just going, you can have this one finger. Well, maybe I'll give you a hand, and you can just have my one hand. That is my sacrifice, and I can still make it through. Aren't you glad God didn't just give us a tip of His Son? This is good preaching. I'm going to listen to this one again next week. I want you to notice these gifts. You know, we normally do not put our gifts on the top of trees. How have you noticed? Did you notice this? By the way, didn't Jim and Tracy do a good job getting this all ready? And Bob? But how many of you notice where the gifts are? What's the first thing that God should see when He sees us apart from the redemption of His Son? He should see our gifts. He should see the gift of worship. He should see our gifts being used for His glory. How many of you would like it if I would just move on right now? Shout the biggest amen you've got, and I'll believe you got it. Come on. I'll just preach a while here. May I ought to pull my jacket off and roll these sleeves up. I'm getting worked up here. The gifts are what God should see first. Parents, listen to me. Make sure in the midst of this fun season and this enjoyable time that your children understand that this is about Jesus and it's not about the gifts. It's about us giving ourselves to Him. Teach them the proper understanding about Christmas. It ain't about Santa Claus. I think I'm going to have to preach on 2 hours here today. Oh, Saint Nick. I love Santa Claus. As a kid, I used to love to color that red suit. Oh, I loved it. And the reindeer. And how about Rudolph and that red little nose? I think kids are confused today. Is it Santa Claus? Is it Jesus? It's Jesus. And I don't recommend that you go to the degree of where you just ban all Christmas and go into hibernation during the Christmas season, because you're talking about a rebellion. you will have an uprising in your house. Make sure you teach your children what the real meaning of this season is all about. Amen? See, we've made the gifts of Christmas the focus instead of making the giver of Christmas the object of our attention. And how many of you know this? When the wise men came, what did they do? They were directed to bring their gifts and they presented them to Jesus. Do you think God wants any less of us today than that we come and present our gifts to Jesus? Let me just close this morning with these few final thoughts that I think are probably some of the most important that I'm going to share with you. Who is Jesus? I think we need to ask that question. It's suggested that there are 366 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the life, death, resurrection, ascension, and His second coming. 366 of them. Now, we all know the majors. He'd be born of a virgin birth, and that His name would be Emmanuel. We just read those. And we also read that He'd be born in Bethlehem. And the major prophecies tell us that He'd be visited by the Magi. Listen to this. Between 40 and 50 of these prophecies concern His birth alone. And if Christ had not come, all these prophecies would be false. But He did come. Here is the fact. The fact is that all have been fulfilled to the minutest detail. Someone has done their homework, and as Mark comes, I want to read this to you. It has been suggested if 8 of these were fulfilled by coincidence, it would be one chance in 100 million million. One chance. If somebody just happened to stumble across and fulfill these. Mathematician Peter Stoner said, listen to this, the probability of one individual fulfilling all 48 is one chance in a trillion, 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 13 times over. Did you hear what I just said? Are you a skeptic regarding Jesus? A trillion, trillion, trillion times 13. The reality is our minds can't fathom numbers that are this big. But here's what I can declare to you. His birth is a miracle. Every prophecy about His birth was fulfilled to the very finest detail. And how dare we in this country who was born by God, how dare we say, we don't want you. My God, Christians, when are we going to stand up and say to the atheists, if you don't like this country, go find one of those countries in the Middle East where they'll let you come and preach that mess. When? And if they make us tear down our manger scenes in the courthouses and all the major public places, get one and put it up in your yard. I say we ought to start a revolution from this point on. So, you know, it's not too late for some of you to go home and say, you know, I let the Scrooge spirit get on me and I wasn't going to have any light. Come on, go light up your neighborhood. Go stick up some lights. Let me tell you, you can buy lights right now 60 and 70% off. Some of you hadn't even got a tree up yet. I'll sell you this tree for a little bit. Amen. I was tempted to not put the lights up on the outside of the house this year. But Jim, good old Jim, said, now, Pastor, I heard you preach in the past. Don't you love it? I remember when you used to preach about put your lights on, let your light shine, you know, invite your neighbors into your house. I said, shut up, Jim. Then my daughter calls and says, oh, Dad, I'm looking so forward to seeing the lights. You do such a good job every year of putting up the lights. The lights are up. Now, I said it last week, they're getting a little lower each year. I love those stand-up ones. You just stick them in the ground, plug them up. I tell you, I've gotten so lazy with my lights, you know what I do? Everything is on a timer. The heck with this stuff when it's about time to go to bed and you're sleepy, go out there and start unplugging lights, walking around in the flower bed, stumbling on things, and God knows what in the country you might run into. I might run into an armadillo. And I'm plugging these lights. I've got them all on timers. They come on in sequence. Oh, they come on. We came home last night or the night before, and one set wasn't on. I thought, oh, we've got a problem here. We just had to do a little bit of adjusting. And then they come on and they go off. And it's really nice. I love light. I don't know. I asked Tracy last night. You can tell the anointing's lifting. We were coming home from our date at Walmart. And Juan Pablo's. I said, I don't know where I got this thing for Christmas lights, but I just love Christmas lights. Now, I drive around every now and then. We've noticed, let me tell you, we've noticed some neighborhoods it doesn't catch on. They're just dark. You're like, man, are all these people unbelievers? Then you go through one neighborhood. I am so proud of our neighborhood, and I don't take credit for it. I mean, it's like a contest is going on. Who can get the most lights on the roof, the chimney, and around the yard? Now, I can't keep up. I have to go buy some of those half-price stick-up things and just put them everywhere. I want to turn Christmas upside down. I really do. But if we're going to turn Christmas upside down, you know what? We're going to have to return to the person of Christmas. It's Jesus. Beloved, if we're going to turn Christmas upside down, we must return to the worship of Christmas. And finally, if we're going to turn Christmas upside down, we've got to return to the giving of Christmas. How many of you, as you're standing at your feet, say, hey, Pastor, that's what I want, and I appreciate the inspiration this morning. I'm going to do that in Jesus' name. Give God the best praise you've given Him all day. Come on. Who is Jesus? Listen to me, please. Unless you have to move, please don't move unless you have to. Who is Jesus? The Bible says He's the Savior of the world. We read it in the first verses. He is the Savior of the world. And every one of you, He loves so dearly. You are special to Him. In fact, the Bible says that He created you. And you know what He wants more than anything else in this Christmas season? He wants a relationship with every one of you. And if there are any of you here this morning who do not know the Christ of Christmas, I encourage you to open up your heart and say, come in, Lord, and be Lord of my life. Now, the devil will immediately come to you and say, well, you've got this issue and you've got this issue. You've got this problem and you've heard those preachers preaching against that. I want you to forget all that. I want you just to turn the little record button off and say, stop. That's why He came. Because God knew none of us could measure. I hope I'm not the only one. Sometimes I just think, I'm going to be real with you. I'm just the rottenest person inside there is. And I say, thank God for His Son, Jesus. I sometimes feel so unworthy of God. I feel so unworthy sometimes I don't think I ought to even be a preacher. You know why? Because I'm just like you. I've got a sin nature. No different. And the devil comes and he tries to tempt us and he tries to get us to think things that we don't want to think. And things we don't want to do that sometimes we do. That's why Jesus came, to be the Savior of the world. And right now, if you're hearing me today, God will save you. He will save you from your sins. He will save you from all the heartache that you have experienced. And He will give you a plan for your life. He will renew you. He will build you up. And He'll start again with you. But you have to open the door of your heart to Him. I just believe some of you are ready to do that this morning. And I want us to pray a very simple prayer of inviting God into our lives today. I want to encourage those of you joining us by the internet today. We invite you to invite Christ into your life and to pray this simple prayer as we pray. Those of you that are listening to this by way of radio, we encourage you to come and pray this prayer with us as well, inviting Jesus. This could be the day that if you make the decision, you could be born again and your life could begin all over. Can we pray? Let's all bow our heads this morning and let's pray. I'm going to pray a simple prayer and I'm going to ask everyone hearing me today to repeat this prayer with me. And if you mean this from the bottom of your heart, the Bible says you will be saved. You will be born again. You'll be saved from your sins. So would you pray with me? Say, dear God, I have no excuses today, but I recognize I need a Savior. Would you come, Jesus, and be my Savior? Would you be Lord of my life? I receive you today by faith. I declare you are my Lord. I declare you are my Savior. And I will serve you from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Now here's what I believe happened. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or even if you prayed it as a rededication, here's what I believe, particularly regarding the first one. You were just born again. You were born of God's Spirit. And God came into your soul, and there He will remain. And you'll learn to serve Him. And let me just say, as you're leaving today, and I had one of these, but I have misplaced it, a Next Step pamphlet. Listen, let me tell you, I'm so happy. Last Sunday, we had a bunch of those taken. And I want to encourage you, they're out on our four-year tables. They tell you what to do next. What are the steps that you need to take next to walk with God? And you'll learn what it means to be a believer and how to walk with Jesus. In fact, I'm going to ask my Next Step people to go ahead and make their way up here now this morning in Jesus' name. And they're going to be here. And as we're going to sing this last song today, I want to encourage you to come and let Jesus come into your heart. Listen, if you need a Bible, we have Bibles. If you need some help, you need some encouragement, these folks will pray with you. But I want us to begin to worship the Lord here for just a moment. And if God has spoken to you and you need prayer or you need to come and tell someone what has happened, I want you to come today in the name of the Lord. Can we just give God a big praise now as we worship?